Turn your songbook to number 55. Take time to be holy. That's the title of our lesson this morning. How many of you are familiar with this song? I can't recall us singing this song much. Don't sing it often. But it's a beautiful song. It teaches us a great message. So this is going to be along the lines of our subject for this morning. We're actually going to look at some of the words in this song and look at some of the things that this song teaches us. You know, our songs that we sing in our assemblies have two purposes. Obviously, the first and foremost purpose is to praise God, and that was the scripture that was read, Hebrews 2:11 and 12. It says, "In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." That's the main focus of our assembly is to praise God, and the main focus then of the songs that we sing is also to praise God. But also, some of the purposes of those songs are to teach, to encourage, to admonish, to rebuke, to correct. And we sing a lot of songs. We sing the song Angry Words to teach us not to use angry words. We sing the song Almost Persuaded, or we're going to sing an invitation song after a while. That song is not so much just a song of praising God as it is of encouraging those who need to respond to respond. And there are a lot of things like that where we sing the song in order to teach. Colossians 3:16 says, "Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." When we sing a song that encourages or teaches or admonishes the others in the congregation, we're also doing what God has commanded us to do with song. Now, sometimes certain churches may get overwhelmed with one kind or the other. Some churches never sing songs of praise and glory to God, songs like Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, or songs like Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Some churches never really get into those songs much. They spend all of their time with these teaching-type songs. Other congregations become so obsessed with the praising songs that they forget about the other side of it, that they're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another with their songs. So we need to work to have a balance of sorts with the different types of song. We notice he lists there psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And those three things are three different types of singing that we do, and they have different purposes. And we need to involve all of those. And of course, some songs are simply taken from Scripture and set to music. And those are good. They help us learn the Word of God, and they help us to be praising God and to be teaching others and encouraging each other. But this particular song is one that in our day and age is very important. I don't know exactly when this song was written, but I know it's been in the songbooks for many, many years. If the world was rushing on at the time that this song was written and the writer of this song recognized the need back then that needed to be an effort made to take time to be holy, then we sure need to recognize that today. Because every day, it seems like, there's some new way of making life faster and moving quicker and quicker and more to do and just rushing headlong toward the next day. So much so that sometimes we don't know where the last day went. It went by so fast. Well, certainly, as we see the title of the song, Take Time to Be Holy, certainly we should never call into question the idea that as children of God we're supposed to be holy. That should just be a given. Now, we understand that. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. It is written, be holy for I am holy." So we need to be holy. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 14 that there are two things that we need to pursue, because without those two things, we will not see God. The first is peace. Pursue peace and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. If we want to get to go to heaven, then we're going to have to pursue peace, but we're also going to have to pursue holiness. And that's missing so many times. There are whole doctrines that have taken on the idea that, well, you just kind of live your life any kind of way you want to, as long as you just acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, you don't have to change anything. And that's absolute nonsense. You can't acknowledge that Jesus is Lord unless you let Him be Lord. And being Lord entails He gets to tell you what to do and how to do it. That's what being Lord means. So we need to always keep in mind that if we want to see the Lord, if we want Him to be our Lord, then we're going to have to live our lives according to His will. So let's notice a few things then. First of all, the need to take time in order to be holy. That's right there in the title. Take time to be holy. Holiness is not something that just happens by accident. You know, children will grow up while you're not paying attention. But children will not get an education without you paying attention. And children will not learn about Jesus without you paying attention. Children will not learn morality without you paying attention. Yeah, there are some things that just happen. Time takes care of them, and it just happens whether you want it to or not. But there are other things that you have to specifically take time to accomplish. And holiness is one of those things. Holiness does not just happen by accident. If you've met someone and you say, wow, this particular individual, they live such a holy life. This person is so close to God. They seem like they're sinless almost. I've never known them to do anything wrong. You think that happened by accident? Well, that person has taken time to develop those characteristics in their life. It does not happen just as things happen throughout the day. It has to be something that is worked on. We see in the second verse of the song, take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Now our lives are certainly fast-paced. They're filled with activities, some of them very important activities, but activities that consume our time. Some of those activities may be not so important. James 4:13-14 tells us that our lives are like a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. It's vanishing. And before we know it, time will have slipped by. So we need to schedule and plan and take the time to be holy. Sometimes we plan to have time to be holy, but we don't take that time. We allow something else to come along that interferes. The second thing that we see, the very obvious, is that it takes time to be holy. This is the key assumption upon which the song is based. That it takes time. Holiness, remember Hebrews 12:14, is something that must be pursued. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. You've got to pursue it. It's not just going to fall in your lap. You've got to go after it. We also see that holiness is the fruit of our service to God. Romans 6:22 says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. We all want that everlasting life. But if we're going to get the everlasting life, we're going to have to produce some fruit of holiness in our lives. And so we need to realize the way that works. You know, a farmer who looks out at his field and says, you know, I want to have a real good crop next year. Or a gardener, you just got a little plot and you're going to plant. You want to have, you know, I want some tomatoes, I want some okra, I want some greens, whatever it is. It won't happen unless you cultivate the field, may have to put some fertilizer in there. You don't have to plant those seeds. You don't have to make sure that it gets water, whether it's enough rainfall or whether during a dry time you have to water it yourself. You're going to have to make sure all those things happen. You're going to have to make sure the weeds are all pulled out. You're going to have to do a lot of things to produce that crop at the end of the year. If you just sit in the house and say, yep, yeah, I'm going to get a good crop next fall and never do anything, you're not going to get any crop at all. You may get some weeds. That'll be all you get. The same thing is the case with holiness. Holiness is a fruit of service. It's got to be developed. It's got to be grown. It's got to be cultivated. It's got to be fertilized and watered in order for it to produce fruit in your life. You've got to work at it. Sometimes we think just because we know what the Bible says, and that the Bible says don't do this sin or don't do that thing because it's bad or do this thing because it's good, we think just because we know that's what the Bible says that that'll just happen in our lives. Well, knowing it, that doesn't do it for us. The old Steve Martin routine, he used to tell people how to become a millionaire. You want to know how to become a millionaire? Well, first, you get $1 million. Well, everybody knows that. You want to become a millionaire, first you get $1 million. But it's the getting of that $1 million that's the hard part. Once you do that, then being a millionaire is pretty easy. Holiness, it's the getting holiness in your life. It's not just knowing, oh, these are things that are holy. It's practicing and working and pursuing it. And holiness must be perfected. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're going to have to keep working at it. It's not one of those things where once you've accomplished it, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You have to keep on your toes, because the devil, he doesn't waste his time sleeping and letting you be holy. He's always out there working, making sure that there are temptations out there and distractions and even those seemingly good things to try to keep you away from the things that you need to do to be holy. He's out there all the time. He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't take a day off every once in a while. He's there every day, all day, trying to figure out ways to keep you from being holy. And we've got to be just as dedicated to being holy as He is dedicated to keeping us from being holy. But if we're not careful, if we don't take the time to develop holiness, the time will be gone and our holiness will be gone. We've got to take the time to do it. Well, how do we take the time? Well, we need to spend time with the Lord. How often do we do that? The song encourages us in one stanza to abide in Him always. In another place there it says, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. We've got to spend some time with Him. You know, that's one of the things that Jesus Himself showed us. If we want to be close to God, if we want to have holiness in our lives, one of the things that Jesus often did was go away from everybody else into the wilderness area by Himself to spend time with His Father. And we don't do that. We think that by coming to church on Sunday and then by maybe saying grace before our meals and maybe a bedtime prayer at night, that is spending time with the Lord. Think again. It's not spending time with Him. Certainly not spending time with Him alone. We need to have some time that we spend with the Lord. And there are two aspects of that. One, of course, is prayer, that we talk to Him. The song says in the first verse, speak oft with thy Lord. And then it also says, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. We need to be seeking His blessings. Well, how do we seek His blessings? Well, we ask Him for some blessings. We've got to be talking to Him. we've got to know the difference between his blessings and the devil's temptation
too.
We've got to take advantage of those blessings when they're offered, but we need to be seeking his blessing and realize that sometimes the world's idea of God's blessing is not really God's blessing at all. Sometimes what the world thinks is a blessing from God. You hear people all the time, I went to the casino and God blessed me, I won this much money. God doesn't bless people at casinos. Yeah. And then you find here's this young couple, they're shacked up living together, and he said, well, God really blessed me with her. God doesn't bless you with a sinful relationship. See, God blesses us with good things. James says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light. It's a good thing. Well, we've got to know what good is. Sometimes we don't know the difference between good and bad. We think whatever we want is good. Well, not everything we want is good. Some of the things we want are sinful fleshly desires. So we need to speak off with the Lord. But then also we see the aspect of letting Him talk to us. We need the Word of God. There also, in that first verse, it says, not only are we to speak off with the Lord, but says then we are to feed on His Word. We won't even know what holiness is unless we read His Word and study it, feed on it. Now, it's always interesting to me, those passages in Revelation where John is told to take this scroll and eat it up. Thoroughly digest it. That's what we need to do with God's Word. I don't mean physically that we start tearing pages out of our Bibles and eating them. But we've got to devour the words and digest them so that they can do us some good. We just read over those words and don't know what those words mean or don't pay attention to what those words mean, get done, and we say, what did I read? We haven't fed on His Word. We might have looked at the page, but in order to feed on His Word, we've got to really understand what's being said there. We've got to really get into the Word to know these kinds of things. Do we take time with the Lord? Do we go to Him in prayer? Do we go to His Word? We need to be taking time to be with Him. But then also, while we can't overestimate the importance of finding time to be with the Lord alone, we also have to spend some time with others. And when I say spend time with others, I don't mean go down to the bar or talking about going to the football game or something to spend time with a big crowd of people, or going to Butler Fest over the weekend and all those kind of things. When we talk about being holy, we're going to have to spend time with others who are interested in being holy. We've got to find the kind of people who are going to direct us in that path. So this includes fellowship with other Christians. Notice what the song says. After it tells us to feed on His Word, it says, make friends of God's children. Do we do that? If I asked you to list your five closest friends, how many of them would be fellow Christians? How many of them would be people you work with? How many of them would be people that you grew up with, or that you went to school with, or that just live in your neighborhood? If we want to be holy, we're going to have to spend time with other people who want to be holy, so that we can encourage each other along those lines. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, that we seclude ourselves and we're not out there in the world being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We can't just stay away from the world, but our close friendships need to be with other Christians. We need to have that kind of relationship so that we're encouraged. Notice in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They spent time together. Includes the idea, of course, of getting together for the assembling of the saints. Hebrews 10:24-25. Talks about. But also getting together for fellowship at other times other than just once a week. It also includes service to our fellow man. We need to be reaching out. The song also tells us, help those who are weak. Help those who are weak. We need to be doing that. Sometimes we may be the weak one who needs help. Sometimes we may need to be the strong one who needs to help the weak one. We need to be willing to help each other. This is a duty for all Christians. Acts 20 and verse 35. He says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15 also says, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. So he tells us there that we need to be supporting each other. We need to be encouraging each other. We need to be comforting one another during difficult times. Then, of course, we also see that we need to be serving all mankind as the opportunity presents itself, Galatians 6:10. We must not be so busy that we don't have time to be with the brethren and help others as we have opportunity. Of course, some people can get so busy doing those service-oriented things that they don't have the time to spend with the Lord. Remember, we talked about the fact that Jesus sometimes left huge crowds of people who had come to see Him, and He left them to go spend time alone. It's not always a bad thing to say no to someone. Sometimes we have to, but we just have to be careful to balance our time. What are the benefits that will result from taking the time that we need to be holy? We're going to receive some blessings, no doubt. We'll have inner peace and happiness. Notice it says in verse 3, take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. We're going to have a calmness to us. As this hectic world rushes on about us, as people are panicking over the economic situation, as people are freaking out over the presidential election, and all of the other things that are going on in the world, we're going to be able to be calm. Because we have a holiness that transcends the problems of this physical world. And we're going to also experience this through the prayer and through the study of His Word. Philippians 4, 6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there we see that by prayer, it's going to comfort our hearts. It's going to help us to have that calm and peaceful spirit. And then the second thing there with the Word, Psalm 1, 1-3 tells us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Also, we'll see that we'll have a sense of power and strength in our life that is profound. Because it won't be us, it will be Him. Notice the passage in verse 3 says, each thought and each motive beneath His control. You know, when God's in control, you have a power and a strength that you could never have on your own. You can't have that by yourself, but He has it, and He can give it to you. Through our relationship with Christ, through the Spirit living in our lives. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 3:16 says, He that would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. And Paul talks about the fact that though our outer man is wasting away day by day, the inner man is being renewed and strengthened Isaiah said that those who wait upon the Lord are going to mount up with wings like the eagles, and they'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and they won't faint. They're not going to run out of power and energy and strength, because the Lord is sustaining them. And He can sustain us as well if we'll take the time to be holy. We'll have an increased realization of God's love in our lives as well. You know, sometimes we just don't, I don't think we really realize how much God loves us. I think that if we really realized how much God loved us, it would overwhelm us so much that we'd probably weep the rest of the day. We wouldn't be able to make it through the rest of the day if we knew just how much He loves us. If we could experience in our hearts, in our souls, in our mind, if we could feel the love that He feels toward us, we could feel it would overwhelm us. I don't know that we're capable of that kind. Our bodies, they'd probably explode if we had that kind of love pent up inside of us. The kind of love that He loves us with. The passage there in the Psalm says this: led by His Spirit to fountains of love. Fountains of love. That's a lot of love to come out of a fountain. We need to understand that. Shouldn't that be enough of a motivation for us to take the time to be holy? But if it's not, if that's not enough, also, we'll be more Christ-like. And the ultimate goal of discipleship, isn't it, is to be like Christ? And that's what the term Christian describes, someone who's trying to be like Christ, a follower of Christ. We're trying to follow Him and do what He wants us to do and be like He wants us to be. That's the ultimate goal. And that's what the passage in the Psalm teaches us: abiding in Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. We're going to become more like Him as we take more time to let holiness be a part of our lives and make holiness a part of our lives. Jesus said in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. He wants us to be like Him. We've been foreordained by God. And Romans 8:29 says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants us to become like His Son, to be changed, conformed, transformed to the image of His Son. And we need to do that. That's what being a Christian is all about. And when we do that, it's a transformation that's going to be seen by others. Notice what it says in the second verse after it says, we'll be like Him. It says, thy friends in thy conduct His likeness shall see. You think people don't recognize when somebody's like Jesus? They're gonna see that. They're gonna see when we are living our lives like Jesus. And they're gonna see when we're not living our lives like Jesus. People know who the hypocrites are, and people know who the people are who have really been changed by the gospel of Christ. People recognize it in your conduct. Your friends in your conduct, His likeness shall see. It's the result of spending time with Jesus. People are going to recognize it. Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. If you give yourself to these things, 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things, give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. When those people saw Peter and John, the last part of that verse says they realized they had been with Jesus. Because your progress, your change, you're different. And people are going to recognize that you're different. Have you ever seen somebody change? Somebody who was worldly? Somebody who was wrapped up in all sorts of sinful activity, and then they changed and they got rid of those things out of their lives? How do you think they did that? You think they went and got a self-help book at Books a Million and did that? No, it's the power of Christ living in them that allows them to overcome those things. And then we'll be, of course, prepared for even greater service. Thou soon shall be fitted for service above. See, God's trying to get us ready to spend eternity with Him in heaven. But we've got to go through the training process here on earth in order to be prepared for that. And He's testing us and training us. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. We're going to have that opportunity. Remember the need to take time. The world rushes on and it would carry us along with it. Our time in life is short. We must have our priorities straight and spend time on the things that are important, not just on the things that seem urgent. The telephone ringing sounds really urgent until you answer it and find out it's a telemarketer. And then you realize it wasn't important at all and you should have left it alone. Now, sometimes the telephone call may be an important call. I mean, sometimes it is. But sometimes things seem like, oh, this is so important, you've got to take care of this right now. And then you find out it wasn't really very important at all. And sometimes the things that are the most important just quietly sit there and wait. And then you missed it. How many of you have ever let your, you let your car tags expire or your driver's license expire? So that, because there wasn't any warning bell ringing saying, hey, you got to take care of this, and you just never got around to it. It was pretty important, though, if you got stopped by that policeman and your driver's license is expired. Your tags are expired. You should have taken, that was pretty important. He starts writing your ticket. Then you write, well, that was pretty important. I should have taken care of that. But we've got to realize where our priorities should be. Are you taking time? In fact, are you making time to spend time with God in prayer and in His Word? To spend time with others in Christian fellowship and in service? We've got to take the time if we want to experience the blessed life that Jesus offers. If we want to become more Christ-like in our conduct. And if we want to be prepared for eternal life and for service above, we've got to take the time. I hope that this song will remind us that we need to slow down with the worldly things that are going on in this world and spend some time on things that are crucial to our spiritual growth and our spiritual health and ultimately our happiness. Sometimes we think that all the things that we're doing will bring us happiness. But happiness is not to be found in the things of this world. Oh, we can enjoy some of the things of this world, certainly. We can enjoy good food. We can enjoy the beautiful flowers. And we can enjoy. There are a lot of things that we can enjoy. But ultimate happiness does not come from this earth. I think it was a Wednesday night, somebody in Bible class said something to that effect. If everything was perfect in this old world, why would we want to leave it? And then this morning in Bible class, somebody was talking about going to heaven and coming back. If we ever got to heaven, why would we ever want to come back? We realize this world is not where it's at. And yet we spend almost all of our time and energy on this world. What's wrong? There's a disconnect here between what we know and what we say we want and what we do. We're doing all the wrong things if we're wanting to get the result that we say we want. We're going about it all the wrong way. We're just following along as the world rushes on. We go along right along with it many times. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, is it perhaps you've been a part of that world? You need to come out of that world. Come ye out and be separate, the Bible tells us. We need to come out of the world. If you're here and as a Christian, perhaps you have been too wrapped up and too sidetracked by the things of this world, you need to get your priorities back in order. Whatever your need may be, we ask that you would respond as we stand and as we sing.